Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of 1 Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in 1 Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
This same Elijah was on top of another hill not that long ago, Mount Carmel. And Jesus' captain spoke to him, Elijah, "Hey, man of God!" It was a title of prophet. The king has said, "Come down." We're going to see a rather severe response from the prophet of God. And a lot of people say, "Wow, Elijah, why are you so touchy, dude? You're going to call down fire, and all 50 of these guys are going to be toasties in a second." So is it Elijah's reputation that's at stake? No. God's reputation of righteousness, judgment, and holiness, that's what's being called into question. It's almost like the king is saying, "I'm in authority here." And God is saying, "Really? Seriously?" And I wrote my margin, "Ahaziah, you're the one who's dying." It looks silly on Ahaziah, but that's me. Every time I say no to the word of God. Verse 10, "So Elijah answered and said of the captain of 50, okay, well then if I am a man of God, if I am a prophet, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. Whoosh, and fire came down from heaven and consumed the captain and his 50. Who's really in command? Is it Ahaziah, the broken, frozen king, or God? Somebody comes back and lets him know, that didn't work out too well, king." Verse 11. "Then he, Ahaziah, sent him another 50 with his 50. Did Ahaziah have another opportunity to listen to the word of God? But he doesn't. "And he answered and said to them, hey, man of God." This is captain number two. I wonder if he's wearing oven mitts about this time. "Man of God, thus said the king, come down here quickly." So Elijah, verse 12, answered and said to him, "Well, if I am a man of God, if I am a prophet, if I'm standing in the place and the model of the word of God, well, then let fire come down from heaven, consume you and your 50 men. Whoosh, and fire came down from heaven and consumed him and the 50. What is God doing? Deuteronomy 19, verse 15 says, "One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. But by the mouth of two or three witnesses a matter is established." This is the second time that's happened. What's going on here? God is witnessing to his word. This is another chance for our boy Ahaziah to get his act together. "So he sends a third captain of the 50. Do we understand that this can be me? How many times have I had God's word confirm something absolutely right or absolutely wrong? And so often, you know, we have people that come in and their careless walk has injured them too. And we'll be praying for them and, you know, they'll say, well, this is what's going on. And I've been waiting for a sign from God. And we say, you don't have to wait for a sign because God's word says in this occasion, don't be unequally yoked together with a non-believer. Well, yeah, but I still want a sign from God. And it can become very, very frustrating because God's word is the witness. And when we say, I don't know, there's going to be a bit of a, maybe a bit of a fire sale in our own life. Let's look and see what Captain number 3 does. See if he's been watching. So he sent a third captain of 50 with his 50 men. And the third captain of 50 went up, and they came, and they fell on his knees before Elijah. Yeah, good move. And pleaded with him and said to him, Men of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Look, fire has come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of 50s with their 50s, but let my life now be precious in your sight. This is a tremendous model here. Elijah is a model for the Word of God. And when you basically say, I reject the Word of God because I'm the king, and it's almost like the Word says, yeah, but you're dying. And your careless walk has injured you. And you're immobile in your emotions and can't move on. I reject God's word. You, word of God, come down to me. God says, there's going to be a fire of sorts in your heart. But look at this model. Now this guy, what is he doing? He is submitting to the authority of Elijah. He is submitting to the authority of God's word. He's recognizing God's authority. He's asking for mercy. And notice now that the word of God moves. And the angel of the Lord, there's Jesus again, said to Elijah, Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him. So he arose and went down with him to the king. Elijah goes to Samaria and sees Ahaziah frozen, broken, and dying. Then he, Elijah, said to him, Ahaziah, Thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, and not sought me out, had he cried out to the Lord, was it possible that Ahaziah would have even been spared? But certainly he would have been like an Abraham and could have been saved if eternally. Not so. Is it because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up. You're going to stay frozen, broken, and dying when you reject God's word. And you shall surely die. So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. What a model. This guy trusting in a useless idol. And because of his careless walk, he now lay dying, broken, and immobile. And even after witnesses, the first 50, the second 50, etc., even after so many witnesses, he refuses to submit to God's word modeled by Elijah. And he dies. It's a model for Israel, because if Israel denies God's word, they're not going to be in the land long. And it is also a model for the unsaved. Those people that are in your life, and some of those people perhaps that are causing you such grief at work or these challenges, you know. Oh, so-and-so is making me so upset because they're such a big jerk. People who are not saved can act in a similar fashion. Broken, dying, and immovable from their whatever. It's a model for them too. And it's a model for even me. Born again, bought by the blood of the Lamb. My name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if I choose to ignore God's word, even witness after witness, things are going to die in my life as well. And because he, as I had no son, Jehoram, this is his brother, by the way, Ahab's other son, became king in his place. In the second year, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat. This isn't the same guy. This is another Jehoram, Jehoshaphat's boy. This is fascinating to me. They're two godless fellows, but they have the same name. Verse 18, now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Yes. By the way, this calling down of fire, in Luke chapter 9, do you remember when Jesus is cruising through Samaria and they reject the message of our Lord? And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, they're like, Jesus, did you see what those people just did? They refuse your word. Can't we call down fire to consume them? Remember that? And Jesus said, boys. He basically said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. What was he saying? In this Old Testament model, of course, the law is firmly the lay of the land. And when you reject the word of God, there was the consequence, really, of death. Remember when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and he had the tablets and all the most of the people of Israel were partying and being immoral, and it was an awful, awful scene. He'd been up there for 40 days. And they said, well, God's got him. He's dead. So let's party. He comes down with the Ten Commandments, and then he says, look what's going on. Do you remember how many people perished because of the sinful nature of Israel that day when the law was broken? He throws down the tablets and they break. How many of you remember how many humans died? 3,000. In the book of Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of God is poured out that appears to be divided tongues of fire, and then the guys bust out. Fascinating. Before the pouring out of the Spirit, they had the Spirit of God in them. Jesus breathed on them. The resurrected Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit, and they did. But they were still behind the doors locked because they were fearful of their lives. When the Holy Spirit comes upon them, the Greek word epi, it doesn't just stop at the top, it just rolls out over the brim. And then they break through the doors and they run to some visible place, and Peter preaches a sermon to largely the same crowd that 50 days in front were screaming, crucify him, Jesus, crucify him. What has gotten into Peter? The fullness of the Holy Spirit. And then he preached an amazing sermon. And by the way, not only was Peter very, very different, but the Bible says when he got done preaching that sermon, that this crowd, largely the same, according to the law, you had to go to Jerusalem for the three feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. When Peter got done preaching the very first Spirit-filled sermon, it not only had affected Peter, it affected the whole crowd. And the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. And instead of saying, crucify him, they said, what must we do to be saved? When the law was given, 3,000 died because the law kills. It can't save. But when the Spirit of God was poured out in grace and Peter preached, do you remember how many were saved that day? 3,000. This God trying to tell us something. When Jesus is cruising through Samaria, in the hearts of James and John was some of that Old Testament law stuff. They refuse you. Smoke them, Lord. In fact, we have biblical precedent for it. Let's call down fire like Elijah did to those guys, the 50 and then the next 50. Let's call down fire. And Jesus basically says, James and John, guys, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of. What was he saying? The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. So, you might say, when I want to call down fire and burn somebody, when we say, Lord, so-and-so needs to be burned up for what they said or what they did, Jesus could look at us and say, seriously, Steve, you want to burn them? You want to burn them? Yes, I do, Lord. Because after all, I have all the facts. And I have deduced from my eternal perspective that they're just crumb bums and they really need to be smoked. John Wesley, an amazing preacher and pastor, he and his brother hopped the ship and they came over from England and they preached in America, in their native England. Instead of preaching and teaching inside of the great cathedrals of the day, they had a habit of hanging out near the coal mines and the tin mines and some of the grimiest places. And when the shifts were being let out and let in, that's where they would set up. And they would speak about an amazing God. And the blackened faces of the coal miners were streaked white from the tracks of their tears. Then they came to America. There'd be crowds of thousands. Now remember, this is before sound reinforcement, before electronic sound systems. And they would preach upwards of 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 and more in a crowd. And they were asked in a newspaper article, how is it that you draw so many people? John Wesley said, well, I called down God's fire to consume me. The people come just to watch me burn. That's good. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this interesting study tonight. Calling down fire to the knuckleheads. Lord, the Old Testament law cannot save. It only lets us know when we've blown it. New Testament, your grace, your life poured out, your finished work on the cross, Lord. That's what saves. And then your grace and mercy poured out. Help us, Lord, never to forget that. We love it when Elijah says, oh yeah, whoosh, it all comes the fire. Yeah, that's our model. And then when James and John sort of run that thing through, Jesus says, I believe with love in his heart, he's saying, boys, careful, you don't know what spirit you're of. Believe you me, James and John, you do not want to be judged by your heart. You need to be judged by my grace. And why are you hitting that one so hard, Steve? Because in the church, very often, that's something that can happen. Lord, call the fire on so-and-so and such-and-such. I pray, Lord, that we, like John Wesley, say, wait a minute, Lord. If there's going to be any fire coming down, I pray, Lord, that the fire comes to my life. The refiner's fire. That burns away the dross. Impurities come to the surface. And then they're scraped away. Well, when am I done from this fiery furnace? When the goldsmith can see his reflection in the pure metal. And that right there, I believe, is something that many of us don't want to sign up for. Please, Lord, may my church open the door to many fun things, activities and programs and fellowships. Because it's fun hanging out with other people that are like-minded. And that is true, to be sure. But very few of us, Lord, have learned the discipline of saying, Lord, before you really can use me fully, I've got to get my hands off the steering wheel, and I've got to let you, Lord, do the driving. And there's stuff in my life, frankly, that I'm holding on to. And modeled by Ahaziah, outside of you, Lord, I'm injured. I've walked carelessly and broken some stuff. I am immobilized and frozen and dying. And my inclination is to call out for the idols, many of whom were responsible for the state that I'm in. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, may you intercept all of my prayers, especially the self-centered ones. And may the real word of God come to my heart, and may I be not like a spirit of Ahaziah, but may I be, Lord God, one that says, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And Father, as it gets darker and darker out there, oh, I pray, Lord, that we at Harvest Family Fellowship are people that are not afraid of the refiner's fire, the difficult chapters and seasons sometimes that you allow to touch our lives. This is kind of bizarre, but go ahead and be seated if you want. Lord, we want to take a minute. Move this Holy Spirit moment, I pray, from the intellectual to right where I live. Lord, I want to ask forgiveness for when I have been chafing under the refiner's fire. I have been complaining, Lord, at the temperature that has not been comfortable. Now I realize what it is, Lord. It's your fire, not to consume me, but to make me more like you. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Heavenly goldsmith, forgive me. I thank you, Lord, for this current challenging chapter. I thank you, Lord God, that there's no human responsible, although I used to think so. It is you, Lord. It is your beautiful refiner's fire. Holy Spirit, come. There's some spouses that need to repent to their spouses. There's some employees that need to repent to their employers.
Yeah, but they're not even saved.
Doesn't matter. The Word of God has come to you, and you have said to the Word of God, shut up. But what about the witness, says the Word of God? I'm not listening. Okay then, says a loving God, I'm going to send the fire, the refiner's fire, because I'm simply answering your prayers when you said at one time, Lord, make me more like you. There's some kids that need to repent to their parents. There's some parents that need to repent to their children. Lord Jesus, in this beautiful, holy time, I want to repent to you, Lord, for the sin in my life. And I want to thank you, Lord, that nothing was overwhelming. Yeah, but Lord, I had no choice. Nothing has seized you but what is common to man. And that with every challenge, God will provide a way of escape. And that He will see you through. You guys, this may be potentially one of the most freeing moments of your life. If He's talking to you about something you've been holding on to, let the fire of God burn it from your life. I was him. I was Ahaziah. And broken, immobile, frozen, dying. And I was the one that says, no, Word of God, seriously? Oh, Lord, I see it in Ahaziah. I didn't see it in me. Come, Holy Spirit, do a great work tonight, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, and all those ablaze said, amen.
You've been listening to the book of 1 Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.